listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
If you would this morning, go on and turn with me, if you would, to Haggai chapter 1. Now, if you don't know where Haggai is, good luck. I didn't know where it was either. I just kept flipping through my Bible till I found it. It's in the Old Testament, towards the end of the Old Testament. He's one of the minor prophets, and so I'm going to give you a little bit of time to go ahead and start flipping there, try and find it. And on my Bible, it doesn't even have a page number, so I wouldn't even give you a page number. I don't have one on my Bible, so you're out of luck as far as that goes. Today, we're going to be talking about our priorities, and the fact that we need to reorganize our priorities. How many of you have ever moved? Has anybody ever moved from one house to another? Yeah. How many of you had to go in and reorganize all your stuff? Oh, yeah. Did you throw a bunch of junk away? Yes, you did. Yesterday, Perry and I were at the house, and we just tried to do a little bit of cleaning in the garage, and it ended up filling up the trash can. Friday is a trash day, and we've already got a full trash can today. That's a problem, okay? That's already a problem. I don't know what I'm going to do because I reorganized. In reorganization, I had to throw a bunch of junk out. And so today we're going to be talking about reorganizing our priorities because I feel like it's super important for us to have the right priorities. See, all this other stuff we're talking about is all good, but without priorities set, it's going to mess everything else up. So today we're going to be talking about that. As you're still turning, I do want to say today is the last Sunday for Pastor Marcus and Amy as here at Gateway. So we need to give those guys a big hand of thanks. They are going to be leaving us next week to go and start Gateway Family Church North Mobile. And their first service is going to be on Mother's Day, but that is not the official launch day, okay? I don't know how many of you guys are expecting to go down for the launch, but in case anybody does. Launch day, we're going to be launching in September the 8th, we're going to be launching, and I will, I think I'm going to be down there for that, aren't I? Yes, I'm going to be down there for the launch, so I'm excited about that. And these guys are doing a great job down there. We've been getting the building ready, and he keeps showing me pictures of all the stuff they've got. And yesterday, probably the most important thing that you can have in a church, they got the toilets put in, and so we're excited about toilets. Y'all aren't excited about toilets because y'all are spoiled. I grew up on the mission field, and there was plenty of times I didn't have a toilet at church, and it was bad. I'm not going to tell you what I did. And y'all are thankful for that, I'm sure. Hey, so today we're going to be talking about priorities. Let's get back into our message. And when you talk about priorities are really one of those things that you set up as important in your life. And I don't know about you, but me being a redneck, I love to hunt. And that's kind of a priority. You know, come September, October, that starts becoming a priority for me. I love to do that. So whenever Perry and I go down sometimes for a vacation, whenever we go to my parents' place, she just knows Thanksgiving and Christmas, don't expect to see me a whole lot unless you're in the woods with me, right? And she's cool with it because she gets to go shopping and do whatever she wants to do. And I sit in a tree stand or in a shooting blind for, you know, a week on end and just love it. I love it. Even though I don't see anything, I love it. But one time, me and my dad and my grandfather went hunting. My grandfather, we called him Papa. And so me and Papa were going down, and he and I were together. Dad was somewhere else. And me and Papa are out in the woods. And all of a sudden, this huge deer comes out. And he was like a 200-pounder, big 10-point. I've got him on my wall in the man room right now, just sitting there all pretty. He's a good-looking deer. He comes out. I shoot the deer. Boom. Knock him down. I go out to the deer. Me and Papa go out to the deer. And we're going to bring this deer in, right? We're going to bring this deer in. And all of a sudden, Papa starts clutching at his heart. He starts, you know, starts stiffening up, hits the ground. So I had to do what I had to do. I get down, pick the big fella up. I'm walking out of the woods. You know how whenever you're in a bad situation, adrenaline just rushes through your body and you can do it. Like you hear about moms picking a car up off a baby. And so that's what I did. So I'm walking out of the woods. And as I'm walking out of the woods, Dad sees me and he comes running because he heard the shot. He comes down. He goes, "Hey, where's Papa?" Because I'm carrying that big old deer on my shoulders. I'm like, "I think he's having a stroke back down in the green field." He's like, "Why'd you leave him down there?" I said, "I don't think anybody will steal him." So, I mean, I had this, Okay, that may not be totally true. I've actually never been hunting with my grandfather, but if I had and he had a stroke, I would have left him there too. Priorities are one of those things we see as important, right? It's what do you put as a place of importance? I like the story of a guy named Major A.H. I got to look at this name because I'm going to mess it up. Puchin. Now, Major A.H. Puchin, despite his odd name, was a millionaire on the Titanic. Did you know there were only 11 millionaires on the Titanic? But very, very few of them actually survived. A.H. was one of the few that survived. And whenever he was questioned after the whole ordeal, they said, man, what happened? How did it go? And they were talking to him. They knew that he had over $300,000, which in those days is a whole lot of money. Today, it's a whole lot of money as far as I'm concerned. And so he had over $300,000 in a safe in his room. And they said, did you even consider taking the money? He said, you know what? That money seemed a mockery at the time. So instead, I grabbed three oranges. I think it's so interesting the way priorities are set in the midst of chaos. I wonder how many millionaires died that night because they were trying to get money out of their safe. A.H. Puchin said, forget the money, man. I got to survive. I'm grabbing some food. He grabbed oranges and took off. Jules Verne wrote a book one time called The Mysterious Island. And in that story, these prisoners escaped from prison using a hot air balloon. I'm not exactly sure. I've never really read the whole story, so I don't know why there's a hot air balloon at the prison. Seems like that's not smart. And so they get on this hot air balloon. They're flying off. And all of a sudden, they notice a hot air balloon is going down, down, down towards the water. And so they decide, hey, we got to cut the sandbags loose. They start cutting sandbags loose, and it rises up. But after a while, it starts going down again. They say, well, what else do we have? And they start looking around. They start grabbing all their food and throwing all their food overboard. And it rises up, but after a while, starts going down again. And as it starts going down the last time, they look around. The only thing they can think to get rid of is the basket that they're sitting in. So they tie themselves to the hot air balloon itself and cut the basket away. And then they just rob the hot air balloon, right? What's the point? The point is, during dire circumstances, you really find out what's a priority. You really find out what's important in your life. And what I want to do today and what I want you to do today is I want us to reorganize our priorities to where when it comes down to a bad situation, we're not having to scramble to figure it out. We already know what our priorities are. We're already lined up with what the Word of God says for us. Amen? Here's the thing about priorities. Priorities will dictate your motives. They will dictate your thoughts, and they will dictate your actions. Your priorities will dictate your life, essentially. What you feel is important, what you place in an order of importance, will dictate how you run your life, how you run your family, how you run your business. So you've got to make sure your priorities are in the right order. I heard a quote by Ray Kroc, who was the guy that kind of took over McDonald's from the McDonald's brothers and really turned it into what we know today of as McDonald's. Ray Kroc told a reporter one time, he said, my priorities are like this, God, family, McDonald's. He said, until I get to the office, and then I reverse the order. And I thought, wow, that's amazing that this guy can come out and say, my priorities are God, family, McDonald's, until I get to the office, and now everything changes, and McDonald's is even put above my own family. Let me tell you something about priorities. Priorities will change the way you look at life. So we've got to decide right now what our priorities are going to be. The first priority we need to look at today is God. As a matter of fact, God is very clear about the top priority in your life in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments, right? And you remember the Ten Commandments. The first commandment, I think it's in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2. Look at verse 2 real quick, Kim. It says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery, out of the land of slavery. Put it into chapter verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. Your top priority, God says, has to be Him. Above family, above money, above house, above anything that you can think of, God has to be the number one priority. God says, don't let anything come up to my level. If it comes up to my level, then it must be a God, and there should not be any other gods before me. So the number one priority in all of our lives today, if you're taking notes today, if you only took one note today, you need to write down, God must be my top priority. Jesus also comes back and backs his own father up in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And he says, if you will just seek first my kingdom, seek God's kingdom first, then all these things will be added unto you. In other words, you want provision, you've got to have the right priorities.
That's right.
I truly believe today that your ability to prioritize is directly tied to God's ability to provide for you. You want God to provide. You say, I need money. Pastor, you don't know. I need salvation. I need healing. God says you need priorities. And you need to have me at the top of them. I need to be number one. And when I'm number one, it opens up the door for me to provide. If you look at it, we're not going to turn there, but Malachi chapter 3 talks about tithing. Let's just look at that for a second. The Bible says this, if you will tithe. What is a tithe? A tithe is giving God top priority in your finances. It's saying, hey, I'm going to take the first 10% off the top and give it to you. Everything else can take care of itself, but I'm going to give the first 10% to God. Whenever we tithe, we're giving God top priority in our checkbook. And when we do that, the Bible says, I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that you won't be able to contain it. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Not even thinking about money right now, but I want the kind of blessing that I can't contain. I want the kind of blessing that runs down off of me onto my family, onto my kids, onto my church. I want the kind of blessing that runs off of me. I want a big blessing. In order to have a big blessing, I've got to have the right priorities.
That's right.
God must be number one if we want provision. Let me prove it to you. There's a book called Haggai. I told you I'd get there. Here we are. We're going to start off in chapter one. Did everybody find it? Did anybody find it that has a Bible today? If you don't have a Bible, bum one off of somebody else. If you don't have a neighbor that has a Bible, then just read the screen. There we go. We'll put it up there. Now, Kim, I'm going to skip around a good bit, so you got to be quick. I know, that's going to be tough for you. Poor old Kim. Let's look at verse 2. Now, here's what's happening. Let me set you up. Basically, what's happening is the children of Israel are coming out of captivity, and the kings have allowed them to come in and start rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah came in, built the walls. Ezra came in and started on the temple. Now, we all know God is very fond of the temple, right? In the Old Testament, the temple's super important. The New Testament, we are the temple, and we're still important to God. And so God says, I want my temple built, but there's a problem. 16 years have passed, and they haven't finished the temple. The temple shouldn't take that long. And so God's looking at the people. He said, hey, we got an issue here. So he sends his boys to go talk to the people in verse 2. And they say, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, verse 4. Is it time for you yourselves to be living in a paneled house while this house remains in ruin? So here's the issue. The issue is the children of Israel have their priorities out of whack. God says, I want you to build my house. They say, we got to build our own house first. I don't know about you, but I've heard a lot of people, as a pastor, I've heard a lot of people talk like this. They will tell me, Pastor, I know I need to give. I know I need to tithe, but I got to take care of my stuff first. And once I get my stuff squared away, then I'll work on God's stuff. I've heard people tell me before, say, Pastor, I need to get my heart right with Jesus. I know I do. I know I've got some problems, but I just got to get myself right and then I'll come to God. That's not the Bible. That's not the gospel. God's desire is for you to show up jacked up. He wants to clean you up. He wants to reclaim you and help you. You don't have to do anything but put him number one. Put him number one. These people got the problem that they're not putting God number one. They're putting themselves number one. They want to build their own house before they build God's house. God says, we've got an issue with this. So then God begins to tell them. I like verse 5. Also in verse 7, he says, give careful thoughts to your ways. In other words, you need to reorganize your priorities. Look at your list of priorities and see who's supposed to be number one. Remember the Ten Commandments where I said, you should have no other gods before me, even if that God is a paneled house. Even if that God is your own house, it shouldn't be before me. I'm number one, period. Now, if you look down verses 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, God begins to talk about, and I don't want to get into all of this, it'll take me too long, but God begins to talk about things like, hey, you went in and you harvested a bunch of grain, but you didn't have very much to show for it. You put a bunch of coins back, a bunch of money back, but you put it into a purse with holes in it. You don't have a lot to show for it. You went out and you tried to build, but you don't have a lot to show for it. What God's saying is there was plenty of opportunity for you to be blessed, but you got nothing to show for your opportunity to be blessed. God said this basically. He said, I could have been blessing you this whole time, but I, God, have been holding back. I've been holding back from you. Why? Because your priorities are out of whack, and we already read, we already decided that if our priorities are out of whack, then his ability to provide for us is hindered. So God said, I provided you a little bit, but I didn't give you a whole lot because you got their priorities wrong. Verse 9 says, because of my house which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. So the people are messed up. It's not the economy's fault. It's their fault. But God gives them an opportunity to make a change here. And in verse 12, it says this, that the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. Let me hang out there for just a second. Two things we've got to do today. We've got to obey God, and we've got to fear the Lord. Now, fear is not fear and trembling. It's not hiding from God. It's not viewing God as some kind of monster. Fear is respect, honor, praise. Whenever I fear something, I put that thing in a place of reverence in my life, a place of priority in my life. So what did the people do? The Bible says they began to obey the word of the Lord and they put God back in his place of priority where he must be. Then let's look at the results of that. I love the results. The results in verse 13 says, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the governor, and stirred up Joshua, the high priest, and stirred up the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God. The first thing that's going to happen is God's going to stir you up. Now, I talked about that earlier. Earlier, I said that when God stirs you up, he is waking you up. Sometimes we sleepwalk through life. When our priorities are out of order, we sleepwalk through life, and we need God to wake us up. Have you ever tried to fall asleep watching a ball game? Let me tell you something. I love to fall asleep watching a ball game. It is one of my favorite things in the world. Now, not LSU. If LSU's on, it's very difficult for me to fall asleep. But if it's anybody else, I'll turn on a good, boring Big Ten game sometimes. And I'll just lay there on the couch with a smile on my face. If I can't wait for football season, I'm getting excited right now just because I can't wait to watch football and go to sleep. But whenever you go to sleep watching a football game, what do you start doing, right? You start dreaming about the football game. And every so often you wake up and you see little bits and pieces. You go back to sleep and you can't really tell what's real and what's not real, right? I mean, I've had those times, man. I'm falling asleep watching a football game and then I think I'm playing the football game and I wake up and it's like, what in the world? Why am I laying on this couch? And so it's a weird kind of feeling. And we do that sometimes in our spiritual life, in our regular life, is we begin to kind of sleepwalk. We don't really know what's real and what's not, what's God and what's not. We mess some stuff up and we need God to come in and wake us up. Get him as a priority, and he will wake us up. I'm going to hit a couple of verses in chapter 2, verses 5, 9, and 19. And these are the things that God wants to do for you whenever you put him in a top priority in your life. Verse 5 of chapter 2 says, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. First thing God wants to do is give you his spirit. He wants you in his presence. I was talking to somebody before church today, and we were talking about them needing a refreshing in their spirit. How do you get the refreshing in your spirit? You get your priorities right. Now look, I'm not saying you're a sinner if your priorities are wrong. Sometimes preachers are the worst at getting their priorities wrong. We were, I think it was Pastor Shane. Were you the one telling me about the guy in, it was either Pastor Shane or Pastor Marcus. I get them confused. The haircuts are the same. They were telling me about this preacher one time, very well-known preacher. Very well-known preacher. Did a lot of good stuff for God. But whenever he went to church on Sunday mornings, they only had one vehicle, and he told his wife and four kids, "You're going to have to find a way to church." And he would drive off, and his wife and four kids would literally hitchhike to church. Through the snow. Uphill both ways. The point is, although he's a man of God, his priorities are out of whack. He messed his priorities all kinds of just jacked up, right? So just because your priorities are out of whack doesn't mean you're not a Christian, but it does mean there's some areas in your life that you need to get straight, and when you get those straight, the Holy Spirit will show up. His presence will be with you. And man, I'm going to tell you something. I need his presence every day. Every day I need his presence. The next one is in verse 9. If you just look down at verse 9, it says, "And in this place I will grant peace." How many of us need peace today? Man, when my priorities are out of whack, it seems like my life gets out of whack. Not wife. I didn't say wife. She said it is true, though. She does get out of whack when my priorities are out of whack. But everything seems to get a little bit more chaotic when my priorities aren't where they need to be. I need peace. So he's going to give me a spirit. He's going to give me peace. And then if you look at verse 19, I like this too. "From this day on, I will bless you." You want a blessing from God today? Get your priorities where they need to be. Get your priorities where they need to be, and God can bless you. Man, I need God's blessing. I desire God's blessing on my life, on my family. I desire his blessing on this church. So what do we need to do? We need to make sure our priorities are where they need to be. Let me give you four quick things that we need to prioritize this morning, and then we're going to get ready to go outside and dunk some folks. Kaysen, I told Kaysen already, be careful. I might hold him under a little bit too long. One time when I was baptized, and I like to tell this story. I've told it before. One time when I was baptized, and Kaysen, I hope you're listening. Don't wait. Don't go to sleep. When I was baptizing this fellow one time, I was in a really small baptismal pool, and we had to get in the pool with them. And so I'm in there, and it was my job to catch them by the head and shoulders and help them get back up. The problem is this cat was really tall, and the other guy helping me do the baptism pushed him way over towards my side. So when old fella starts going down, I'm up against the wall, and I'm stuck, and his head is like stuck on my stomach. And he ain't going under. So I just grabbed him by the face and shoved him down. Now, the story about my grandfather was a lie, just straight up. That right there was the truth. I did shove that fellow under the water. I kind of felt bad, but I thought at the end of the day, he got baptized. Amen, right? Yes, hallelujah, yes. Let me give you four things that you need to prioritize this morning. You need to prioritize your soul. Listen to me. You need to prioritize your soul. Mark chapter 8, verse 36 says, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and still lose his soul? What difference does it make if you're the richest man in the world? What difference does it make if you've won the most souls? What difference does it make if you've got the best family or you're the best athlete? If you've lost your soul, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" How many of you have ever been on an airplane? Anybody been on an airplane before? Oh, yeah. You know what happens every time you get on an airplane, right? First thing they tell you, they start giving you the safety check. You got to buckle your seatbelt, as if we don't know how to buckle seatbelts. And then they start telling you about if we have turbulence, if we have a drop in air pressure, what's going to happen? Oxygen mask. Now, mamas, who do they say needs to put that oxygen mask on first? The mama does. My wife says, "Ain't no way." I'm going to tell you right now, my wife, if we ever hear about a plane having pressure problems and somebody dying, it's going to be my whole family because my wife will not put her oxygen mask on first. They want the mama to do it first or daddy to do it first. Why? Because if you put yours on first, then you now will have the ability to help someone else. But if you're trying to get it on them first and you lose oxygen, you pass out, and they die. So everybody dies. It's a bad day all the way around. It's important for us, listen, in our spiritual life, in our priorities, we need to get our soul prioritized first. God's number one. We'll leave him there. Under God, let's work on us. We should be the next on that list. I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm jacked up spiritually as the head of my home, it's going to mess up everybody else in the house. If I'm jacked up spiritually as the head of this church, it's going to mess up everything else. I've got to get my soul right. I've got to get my spirit right. I've got to be refreshed and renewed. I've got to be in the Word. I've got to spend time with God. I've got to make sure that this man is right, and then I can worry about everybody else. Now, it sounds prideful to put yourself that high. And I'm not saying, listen, some of y'all are sitting back right now and you're thinking, he just gave me permission to go buy a motorcycle. No, he didn't. Nay, nay. Motorcycle does not help your soul. It may send your soul to heaven or hell a lot faster, but it does not help your soul. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting your spiritual man right first. Get you right and then worry about everybody else. Jesus even says that when you're talking about other folks. He says, take the plank out of your own eye before you start dealing with other folks. Get your soul right. Number two, we need to make sure that we prioritize our schedule. Prioritize your schedule. That means your time. Listen, there's two things you can show me today, and I'll tell you all your priorities. You can show me your calendar, and you can show me your checkbook, and I can tell you what your priorities are. You look at your calendar today. Everybody go home, get out your little iPhone, get out your computer, start looking at the calendar, seeing what is filling up that calendar, and I'll show you your priorities. It is important for us to understand that we've got to put time into our priorities and put that time in specific places. See, here's the thing. We will keep a tight schedule for getting our kids to school. There's some of y'all, you hadn't ever had your kid late to school a day in his life. But getting the kid to church is a whole other ballgame. Some of us, we won't miss our favorite TV show for anything in the world. But first time we get a sniffle, we're staying home from church. I'm not preaching to get you in this church. I'm preaching to get you in church, period. You don't like the way I preach. You don't like the way we do church. Don't come here. Go somewhere you can be happy. But go somewhere and make it a priority in your life. I read a study that said that children that are in church on a regular basis develop better behaviorally. They develop better emotionally, and they develop better with cognitive skills if they're in church regularly, and it is boosted if both parents are in church with them. This is a study of over 9,000 families. They said the ones that go to church on a regular, consistent basis end up developing better as adults. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't ever want my kids to hate church. I don't ever want to feel like my kids feel like I'm having to drag them to church. But I don't ever want my kids to miss church. I want my kids around people that are going to lift them up, encourage them, love them, and push them spiritually. We need to have God as a priority on our schedule at home. You need to take time to pray with your family. Take time to read the Word with your family. We're not the best at it at our house, but we try really, really hard to take time every night, if possible, to read the Word and pray with our family. Why? Because we're making our schedule. We're putting God as number one in our schedule. Put God number one in our soul. Put God number one in our schedule. We need to make sure that our schedule is important, and it's in there. Listen, families need to be another priority in your schedule. Don't spend so much time at work that you forget who your kids are. I've read stories. I'm not going to talk about names because it's just stories. But I've heard stories about football coaches, especially in the NFL, that had to have their secretaries go out and buy presents for their wife and kids. And they worked all through Christmas Eve, left the office at like 6, 7 o'clock in the morning to go home, open up presents that they didn't buy, and then go back to work. Let me tell you something. I would rather lose a football game than lose my family. I've heard of plenty of preachers that spend more time at church than they do at home, and their kids end up wild and rebellious and doing all kinds of crazy mess because the dad wasn't the head of the home. He spent more time at church than he did with his family. His schedule wasn't prioritized with God first, family second. You've got to prioritize your schedule. God's always first. Family is always second. Then comes church or work or ministry. But take care of those other two things first, number one. The next thing we need to prioritize is our spending. Matthew 6, 21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. I told you before, if I looked at your calendar and I looked at your checkbook, I could tell you exactly where your priorities are. All I got to do is look at what you spend your money on. All I got to do is look at how you spend that money, and I'll tell you where your priorities are. I told you this story before. It's always embarrassing to tell it, but I'll tell it again. I remember one time when Perry and I were struggling a little bit financially. We weren't making a whole lot of money, and we were trying to figure out how to make ends meet. And we began to look at our checking account. We downloaded from the bank all of our spending for like the last 6 months. And I began to notice how many hundreds of dollars we were spending at McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King. And I started thinking, man, my priorities are so out of whack right now. So out of whack. I'm telling God, God, I want to give you more. I want a blessing. And yet I'm steadily feeding McDonald's and Wendy's. I'm giving all my money to them. They're eating my tithe instead of God getting what he needed to get. Now, I shouldn't have said that because we always tithe. We've never not tithed. Sorry about that. The point is, look at your checkbook. You'll see. You'll see what's a priority. So we need to make sure that we're putting our heart in the right place. The last thing is this. We need to make sure that we prioritize our speech, how we talk, what we say. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Prioritize what you say. Think about what you say. I was talking to the staff this week, and then, fellas, I ended up messing it up, as usual. But I was talking to the staff this week about how we need to make sure that we speak with purpose, that we tell our words where to go. We're making sure we're saying the right things and we're prioritizing what we're saying, that we're speaking life and not death, that we're not cursing folks, we're not putting people down, but we're encouraging and building people up. So we need to prioritize the four things, our soul, our schedule, our spending, and our speech. We need to make sure God is number one in all of those. Let me close with this thought today. Just like in a house, we have to reorganize stuff all the time. We need to be reorganizing our priorities. Today, I want you to look at your priorities. What's number one in your life? What's number one in your life? Maybe God is number one in your life. Maybe you got that part handled. What's number two? Is it your family? Is it your family or is it your sports? You say, hey, man, when it's football time, that's number one. That's more important than anything else. I love LSU football, but I don't love it that much. Right? We got to make sure we got everything right. Is it work? Is it your hobbies? We need to get our priorities lined up if we want God's blessing on our life. It's like buttoning a shirt. I don't know if you've ever messed up the buttons on your shirt, fellas. There's been plenty of times I've gone to church or work, and I have messed up the first button, right? And then what happens? When you mess up that first button, all the rest of them are all out of whack. Sometimes you got the shirt doing this thing right here. Sometimes you got the big open spot where everybody can see right in, right? Because you got all the buttons messed up, and then you look like a mess. The point is, if you can just get the first one right, 9 times out of 10, all the rest of them are going to line up perfectly. If we can just get the first priority right, everything else is going to line up. If we really have God first in our life, he's going to tell you. His Holy Spirit is going to speak to you, and he's going to let you know if the rest of them are messed up and how to get them lined up. We got to get the buttons right if we want to get everything else right. Paul says it best in 2 Corinthians 4. It's really 17 through 19. It's all good. But right at the end, 19, he says this. He says, listen, stop focusing on what is temporary and focus on what is eternal. And if you'll focus on what is eternal, then everything else will take care of itself. That's why when I talk about kids, it's so important for me to make sure my kids are serving God more than anything else. Do I want my kids to be good at sports? Yes, I do. Why? Because I was bad at sports. I'd love for somebody in the family to be good at sports, except for my wife. She was good. Do I want my kids to be smart? Yes, I want my kids to be smart. but I would rather have an uncoordinated, dumb child go to heaven than a Nobel Prize-winning NFL star going to hell. That just is what it is. I want to make sure that everything is taken care of, that my priorities are set. Now look, I'm saying all that, and I don't know, Julie, if you're still on the board or not, but we got football sign-up start today. I'm still going to put my kids in sports. I'm not saying I'm pulling them out and all they're going to do is church. I'm just going to make it a priority. I remember times when my dad told me, hey, it's Sunday, you ain't playing ball today. It's Wednesday, you're going to be at church today. And you know what? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. Did I miss out on some stuff? Yes, I did. I remember my dad telling me I wasn't going to prom. I'm not saying prom is good or bad. I'm not even getting into that today. But there was a priority in my dad's life that said, I see a bunch of stuff that the other kids are falling into. I'm not going to let you do it. Was I mad at him? Was I embarrassed whenever my friends would say, hey, we're all going to prom. Are you going? And I'd be like, no, man, I can't go. Why can't you go? My dad says, I can't go. And they would make fun of me, you know. And I'm like, man, I don't like that. But at the end of the day, I'm so thankful because there's a lot of stuff I could have gotten into. I know me. A lot of stuff I could have gotten into, but my dad had some priorities set for my life, and he helped me out. What are the priorities in your life? Let me tell you one last story. I promise I'll shut up. I know we got to go baptize people. I'll never forget, as a kid, I was probably 14 years old, and I remember my dad as a pastor always being at church. Always being at church. As a matter of fact, we lived in the church parking lot, not in a tent or anything. We actually had a house, but it was right there next to the church parking lot. And I remember living in that house, and I remember getting home from church, let's say on a Sunday afternoon, let's say 12 o'clock, get home. I'm eating lunch. Michael's eating lunch. Mom's eating lunch. Dad's still at the church. Dad gets home about 2 o'clock. Then we have to go back to church. At those times, we had Sunday night service. Go back to church at 6 o'clock. Well, by the time Dad gets home, he's having to study for the 6 o'clock service, so we don't really see him Sunday afternoons. He goes 6 o'clock service. He preaches. I come home. Let's say the service is over, and I'm done playing with my friends. It's 9 o'clock. I'm coming home. I got to get in bed to go to school the next day. Dad's still at church, counseling with people, praying with folks, dealing with people until 11 o'clock at night. Did the same thing on Wednesday nights. Okay, here's the thing. One day, Dad realized, I'm missing my kid's life. I'll never forget one of the greatest moments in church. I'll always remember this. I remember we had an assistant pastor. He stood up one Sunday, and he told the church, he said, listen, if you need to talk to Pastor Mike, we have what we call an office and an office phone, and you can call him and set an appointment. Leave him alone after church so he can spend time with his family. I'll never forget that. Because all of a sudden, Dad started coming home on Sundays and Wednesdays, and I got to talk to my own father. I remember my dad began to start going on youth trips and campouts, and he started doing all this stuff. What happened to my dad? He began to prioritize his family even over his calling, even over his ministry. He prioritized family. What happened to the church? Did the church fall apart because Dad wasn't there all the time? The church grew. We ended up having two services. We ended up having to build a bigger building. We ended up filling that thing up. God began to bless. I don't know if God blessed because Dad spent more time with me, but it certainly helped that Dad prioritized his life. And when he prioritized his life, what does the Bible say in Haggai? God begins to show up, begins to bring peace, and begins to pour out blessings on us. Amen? Amen. Why don't we right now close our eyes and bow our heads?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.